This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Summertime in the Umpqua Valley. We've got all kinds of topics and guests rolling in, and Congresswoman Val Hoyle in today. Thanks for coming in studio.
Thanks, Kyle. How are you?
Doing all right today. Talk about what you're doing around the Umpqua Valley today.
So we're doing a number of things. I was just over at Umpqua Community College meeting with the Upward Bound class. So that is a group of students who are part of a program called TRIO that I was a part of when I went to college in the 80s, where it works with kids that are generally first-generation college students who want to go to college, helps them figure out how to get through the process and whatnot, and, you know, find aid and get support to be successful. They were so impressive. And then we're going to leave here. We're going to meet with the Cow Creek, and we're also going to be meeting with the Douglas Forest Protection Association, and just talking to a number of people in and around Douglas County.
And when you get a chance to get out of D.C. and get back around and check out the district, does it kind of give you like a renewed sense of why you do this work?
Absolutely. It first of all, I love being home. There is not a better place to be. And I work really, really hard to talk to people from all over the district. As you know, Kyle, I represent from Curry County and the California border up to the top of Lincoln County. And there are a lot of diverse political interests, rural, urban, you know, university, and, you know, suburban, coastal, all kinds of places. And so I just work hard to talk to people from all those different backgrounds. And it just gives me hope, 'cause D.C. can be depressing with the gridlock and ridiculousness. And when I come back here, I understand why I do the work.
And when you got into Congress, when you first considered running, let's back up to that point. What was it that made you make that leap?
Well, a number of people talked to me, specifically Peter DeFazio, who said, look, this is a district that you can't win with just Democrats or just Republicans. And he felt like we needed someone that could stand up for working people and that could be practical and that was willing to take on hard challenges and be able to talk to people from across the political spectrum. And, you know, he felt like I was that person. And fundamentally, I wasn't sure I wanted to run, but I felt like at this point in time, we were the first class coming in after January 6th, that we needed people that were going to focus on following the Constitution and representing the people of their district as opposed to just getting caught up in D.C. So I ran because you don't back down from a challenge.
So let's talk about some current things going on. First of all, your thoughts about where we are today with the Iranian conflict.
So, I do not think that we should have allowed ourselves to be dragged into that war. I think that we are in a worse position than where we started, just in terms of the fact that Iran is going to get more money. The area is less stable. Benjamin Netanyahu came over to tell Donald Trump that this was going to be an easily winnable war. And the fact is, you can't, nobody wins in a war. But this is, you know, we're losing American lives. We're spending billions and billions of dollars that should be spent here in the United States. And I'm not sure how it ends, but I know a lot of innocent people have died and American lives are on the line. We have lost American soldiers, and we're set up to lose more. And I just don't think it's worth the cost. I am hoping and praying that we can get out of this conflict and really focus on America first, which is what we should be doing.
You know, it seems like this particular situation has kind of been up and down. You know, a couple of days ago, or maybe a little bit longer, it seemed like, okay, things are improving. You walk in this morning and they're not.
So last year we were told that we got rid of all of the, you know, nuclear weapons or ability to produce nuclear weapons by Iran. And then we went to war on the basis that we needed to stop them from having nuclear weapons, right? That, and then we were told multiple times that we won the war, that there was a deal on the table, that they wanted a deal, that it was happening. And now today we are back at war. I am concerned, and I've talked to Republican colleagues who have the same concerns, that we as members of Congress aren't getting clear information about what's actually happening. And in fact, I have a family member who works at Fox News, and the bottom line is junior members of staff at Fox News knew that we were going in to bomb Iran before I did as a member of Congress. We have not had a vote in Congress about spending this money, about this declaration of war, and by the Constitution, by the War Powers Act, after 60 days, we should have that. I think the American people should be able to weigh in, but fundamentally, we deserve to know what's happening, and quite frankly, talking to people, and I'm talking Republicans, I'm talking Democrats, people across the political spectrum, they do not want us engaged in another forever war in the Middle East.
And do you feel like this may have a impact on the midterm elections this fall if we're still in this situation, you know, going further towards the fall?
I do. And again, whether it's on the Republican side, whether it's on the Democratic side, what we are seeing is that people want to vote for elected officials that are going to stand up for our country, that are going to stand up and say, let's spend our taxpayer dollars here and let's not put more American lives on the line in another war in the Middle East. This is not popular. You know, over 60% of the population is dead set against it. And that's across Democrats and Republicans. So fundamentally, I do think it will impact the midterms. And I think it will impact the midterms on both the Republican and Democratic side.
Number of other things we can cover in our brief time here. And I know anytime you're back around the Roseburg area, somebody's going to ask you where we are at with federal funding for a state veterans home on the Roseburg VA campus.
This continues to be a top priority for our office and working with Representative Cliff Bence's office. You know, I was disappointed that we were not able to get more funding into the program that funds veterans homes, but we're continuing to push the importance of funding this veterans home and talking about the need for it. I actually feel pretty hopeful. And again, a credit where credit's due. We are working, you know, both Cliff Bence and I share representation of Douglas County, and we're working together to make this a priority.
I mean, this might be an example of one of those things that, you know, 15 years ago people thought was going to happen in 5 years, and here we still are.
Right. Here we are, and, you know, the state has stepped up with their money. The biggest thing was getting the Roseburg Veterans Home up to the top tier priority. It was down at a third level tier priority, which meant it was never even going to be considered. So we were able to do that last year. And now the issue is making sure that in appropriations we can get this prioritized. And I've talked with people on the Appropriations Committee, Democrats and Republicans, really explaining to them how there aren't really options close by so that we can give the veterans who served, put their lives on the line to protect and serve our country, the care they deserve so they can live out their lives in dignity. We shouldn't have to fight so hard to get these veterans the benefits that they earned, but it's certainly a worthy fight to have, and I'm feeling cautiously optimistic.
It's always tricky for me to try to keep up with the congressional schedule. Now, are both the House and the Senate off right now?
I think so. I know the House is out. I believe the Senate's out. We are meant to go back next week, but we got sent home early last week because the Republican conference, Mike Johnson wasn't able to pass the National Defense Authorization Act or anything else because some of his members were not happy at the fact that the SAVE Act is not going to pass the Senate. So they are holding up all legislation. So I'm not sure what we're going to do next week, but I'm prepared to go back to work. Fundamentally, this Congress has passed less legislation than almost any other Congress. And I know that my constituents don't get paid to not do work. So I think we should be showing up. We should be working in a bipartisan way. We should be, you know, doing the hard negotiations on budgets and figuring out how we can move forward.
Now, if you do go back next week, you don't have a lot of time until at whatever point the August recess comes in, too.
That's right. We have, I think, 8 more session days over 2 weeks before we go back. And that is, so we would be back the very end of July through the first week in September.
Wow. So a lot to keep track of there while you're back in the area. At the same time, you're here, but you're working on things for the future. What are some of your priorities as you look ahead, especially maybe into the fall, about what you would like to be doing?
You know, the thing is, the things that I work on don't change from when it's a campaign year season or not a campaign season. It's transportation and infrastructure. We are working very hard on the Coos Bay port and the upgrades to the rail that come along with that, that will benefit all of this area. We're working very closely with the Trump administration. The Federal Rail Administration came out to look at our rail and potential upgrades there. Looking at how do we bring back investments in surface transportation, so in our roads, in our bridges, in our dams. These are things that shouldn't be partisan, and luckily the Transportation Infrastructure Committee works in a bipartisan way. Number two, working on wildfire management and mitigation and making sure that our wildfire fighters have all of the resources that they need, working on some tribal co-management proposals to make sure we're managing our federal lands, and working on things like the Roseburg Veterans Home. But mostly when I'm back home, this is the time that I get to go out to all the different parts of this district to talk to communities about what their priorities are.
Now, right now, we are kind of in a fairly good weather pattern in terms of not being too hot, but it looks like more hot weather is headed this way next week. Probably going to ramp up the fire danger level. We've talked about this before. A lot of concern this summer. I know a lot of training going on with DFPA right now, so folks are ready because it does not look like a good fire season.
No, it doesn't. It is, you know, we are in extreme drought. And as much as it's very comfortable here, I'll tell you what, Kyle, it's a heck of a lot more comfortable here than it is in Washington, D.C., where it was 107 degrees and humid. Very much better here. But it is drier than we've seen it. I mean, in March, we had like 5% snowpack. So people need to understand the danger is extreme and it is real, and we expect a bad fire season. I also will tell you that almost 70% of fires are started by human beings, started by people being careless, whether it's with fireworks, whether it's not putting out your campfire, whether it's, you know, a random spark somewhere, whether it's a fire starting that doesn't get put out, whatever it is. We need to be more careful. So if you go to our website, there are things to talk about. How can you prepare your to-go bag? I have my go bag ready because I live out in a rural area that is, you know, it is is in a place that could be in fire danger. And then I also have the app. It's called Watch Duty, and it will tell you when there is evacuations, when there are fires, what percentage contained they are. We just have to be prepared. But honestly, the most important thing we can do is do everything we personally can to prevent fires and then be ready in case an evacuation is called, because those fires are going to move fast.
And some concern as well with this fire danger level, that we've got too many forests that need to be thinned.
Absolutely. So these are things that we're working on. And, you know, with the way that the federal service and employees have been gutted, we have Forest Service and we have BLM that just aren't able to keep up with the work that needs to be done to ensure that we don't have as much to burn, which is why we're working with the state. We're working with a lot of our local tribes on expanding their assistance in managing these lands. We're working with private companies. We're working with the environmental community. We want to make sure that we're moving ahead so that there's less to burn, because these fires are not the same as they were in the past, where fire was used in a healthy way. You know, where these fires are burning hotter, they are moving faster, they are burning the ground, they are, you know, they're taking away parts of our landscape that we will never get back. So I think we have to change how we're approaching our forest management, and that is something that our office works on all the time. It doesn't mean clear cutting or taking away our old growth. It means making sure that our forests are healthy and that there is less out there to burn.
As a member of Congress for a few years now, what is it one or two of the things that you're most surprised about how the federal government works since you've been in office?
You know, I think when you look at what's happened, I mean, for me, I work on like transportation, tribes, and timber and forestry issues, right? Like natural resources, water, wildlife, fishery. I don't work on the issues that get seen on TikTok or, you know, are explosive. I can tell you that I'm able to work with my Republican colleagues on a number of things. And then also what surprises me is that people that got elected to Congress, you know, go in to blow things up and they show up. There's a small percentage of them, but they're large enough to really gum up the whole works. They go there to break things. And if you want to break government, I don't know why the hell you would run for office. So it's both frustrating, and then there are small things. For instance, we passed the, you know, repassed the Great Outdoors Act. That was bipartisan, and that invests in our national park system. And we were in Hot Springs, Arkansas, to do a hearing on that, and it was really hopeful. So what surprises me the most is the relationships. There are some really good people there, and then also that there are just people that want to break things, and I think that they should step out of the way and let us do our jobs.
What's something that you're especially proud of that you feel like you've accomplished since you've been in office?
So since I've been in office, we've been able to invest in a lot of aging infrastructure in this district and build relationships with people. Even people who don't agree with me, they say, well, I know where you stand. I don't agree with you on these things, but I know I can call you if we need something. My staff do such phenomenal constituent work, and we've gotten people back almost $2 million in money that they were owed by the federal government. Either it was with their Social Security or from the IRS or from, you know, their veterans benefits. Every single day, our staff works with people to help them just get service from the federal government and get the benefits that they've earned, and we're really successful. I mean, we deal with a lot of people here in Douglas County. We don't just help people who voted for me. We help anyone that calls our office who has an issue with the federal government, from expediting passports, again, to helping get your VA disability process. So people should call our office. That is what I'm most proud of.
And during the balance of your time back in the district, what's ahead for you on your schedule?
Oh, well, I'll be going from the North Coast all the way to the South Coast. Today, you know, we're in Douglas County, Roseburg area, but we'll be going to Reedsport, Coos Bay, Curry County, Lincoln County, Benton County, and, of course, Eugene, Springfield. So just traveling through, talking to people, and then heading back for Monday.
All right, Congresswoman Val Hoyle, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Well, thank you. Take care.
All right, 12:57.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.